Welcome to For the Hawkra, a Seattle Seahawks podcast here on the Believe Podcast Network, episode one. And I am joined by a few of my good buddies. We've got Mr. Phil Leidick, we've got Mr. Clinton Bonner, and of course, we've got my other good buddy, Adam Emmert. Adam, it is our first episode. You and I have been podcasting together as part of the Seahawkers podcast since 2013. And now here we are on the Believe Podcast Network, episode one.
Absolutely. And we've been doing it so long that I don't deserve a mister, apparently. Only no. Clinton and Phil get misters beforehand. Uh-huh. So I'm glad that, that I'm not nearly as formal as the rest of them. But yeah, fired up to do this for the Hawkra. For those of you who are not familiar with the term Hawkra, that comes from the Seahawkers podcast. And it's like your chakra, but for your sports team, the Seahawks. So, you know, everything that goes into your fandom and kind of the feelings of that. And that's kind of where the title comes from. And I think today we've got a show coming up for you guys here that maybe it might be titled things that the Seahawks need to do. Might be that, you know, things that we want the Seahawks to do, but it comes from our heart, from the center of our Hawkra. And I think it's going to be interesting for everybody.
Phil, you have been with us on this ride for probably the least amount of time, but you are a very key part of this because so many times, so many topics that you come up with. This wasn't one of them for this show, but people should expect that when we have topics to talk about, 90% of the time, they're coming from Phil. How you doing, buddy?
I don't know about 90% of the time.
95%.
Okay. 5% to 90. Somewhere in there, you know, like 3 to 100, somewhere in there. But yeah, I'm excited about this one. Clinton comes up with really cool topics and ideas and threw this one out there. The hard part is when he says one, because I want a lot of things, Brandon. Like I need my fingers and toes for what I want. So I got to pick a want, and that's going to be the challenge, I think, here tonight.
Clinton, we've got four things that we're going to talk about that we want from our Seahawks. You're the last one to be introduced, so how about you give a little introduction and we get right into it. One thing that you want from our Seahawks.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'll get into that in a second. Excited to be on the Believe Network, listen to their stuff for a while. Different folks, different Seahawks podcasters, and just different rivals too, right? That's one of the exciting things we'll get to go do now as part of this network is bring on some rivals. So excited for that. Yeah. So whether it's need, whether it's want, we are in the midst of, you know, OTAs are happening or, you know, this time of year. And to me, Brandon, this current roster still has some big time question marks. And I think it's going to be really fun to talk through those needs and wants. Did you want me to kick it off and throw one out there? Or are we going to pause for a sec?
I think we should just get right into it. I will take a pause to let people know some of the other things that we like to promote. But I say we get into our wants and needs and desires and hopes, and we'll hopefully all condense those into one thing each.
Sounds good. All right.
That'd be good, 'cause that's a little deep there, man. I don't know. that's a lot of stuff there.
Yeah. Well, I'll lead us off then if that was the ask, and I'm happy to do so. I've got one that I think, to me, whether it's the biggest one, the biggest need, biggest want, I think it could end up being the most impactful thing. So I'll go there. And for me, my biggest desire before the season begins is I really want them to clean up what I would call like the back end of the wide receiving room. I have some challenges with some of the moves, right? So D. Eskridge hanging around, we re-sign him to something minimal. We bring in Laviska Shenault. Okay, we have the new kickoff rules. Maybe that's why. Maybe they figure, you know, Laviska or D, one of them. It's all fine. I don't want to take folks like Bobo off the field. And I don't want to take folks like JSN off the field. I want to throttle JSN's touches. And I want to throttle just more Bobo in general when it's called for. I realize sometimes you run deeper than four wide receivers. It's just a little messy for me right now, guys. And I've seen way too many NFL teams add what they think is like this extra veteran. And it actually takes talented dudes off the field who are waiting in queue that I think are primed now. And Bobo's not a young dude. He's not a young wide receiver. I think his second year, I think he's 25 years old or something like that. So that's I know it might be a niche thing, But that's what I want, guys. I want some cleanliness. And I want to be like, that's our top four. We know what our fifth is. Some gadget guy. It's one dude. And it's very, very clear that Bobo is going to get more touches and JSN is going to get a lot more touches. That's what I want.
I think it's okay that we throw in some niche things on this because, yeah, I think and to what you're getting at, it is a very crowded group once you get past, you know, you got your top three guys, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, JSN, and then it gets a little bit iffy as to, you know, is D'Eskridge going to stick around? Is Tariq Young going to be able to make the roster? You got LaVisca Chenault, Esop Winston, Cody White. If you want to get really deep, you got Hayden Hatton and D. Williams as guys who are signed as undrafted. So that's a very deep roster of names that maybe people are hearing for the first time, and you want to clean that up. You know, we want people to be sure and clean up their podcast feeds. So if you are new to this show, but you also want to check us out on YouTube, you can go to youtube.com/Seahawkers podcast and you can check out all the shows there, whether it's For the Hawkra here on the Believe Podcast Network, whether it's our Seahawkers podcast that we've been having on our own feed here for a while. You can get everything there. And if you want to help support what we do, you can go to getintheflock.com, become a member of the flock. Mr. Phil, what do you think of the idea of cleaning up the wide receiver group here before the season kicks off?
Well, I didn't see it coming, Clinton, and I don't think that competition is a bad thing. I feel like let's put D and LaVisca and see who can earn it out there. Bobo does something different. Our front three, they're not going to get bumped out by these guys. And you need a guy that can do something when one of them happens to go down. Wide receiver's tough to be healthy all season. I love Tyler being Tyler, but I don't think he needs to have as many snaps. I don't necessarily want to change his touches one way or the other. I just think he could deal with a few less snaps. And having D and LaVisca fight for who's going to be the returner slash they come in if someone is out, I love it. I want to see who can be the best. I want them to earn the spot. So I almost am opposite of you on the LaVisca and D on the roster thing. And that surprises me to say, but I am.
That's okay. I like the opposition in the sense that I think it makes for a good debate. I've just seen too many NFL teams like the Jags last year. And I realize it's different level, guys, different level, like meaning 1, 2, 2, 3, because we have a set three. We understand that, yeah. From a wide receiver position.
They're not good enough. They're not good enough to bump our top three.
Well, I could just see a degradation or like a lack thereof of focusing on JSN and then it cascading down to like a lack thereof focusing or getting Bobo the touches he does deserve. And he's earned at this point. Last year, the Jaguars, I think, are a good example. They're waiting for Calvin Ridley to get back from whatever the gambling thing, right? Where he's out for a year. And yeah, like the NFL has a real weird relationship with gambling, right? So he's out for a year. They come back. The year previous, they signed Christian Kirk to a big deal. And people are like, whoa, what an overpay. That's insane. Kirk goes out and has a really good 2022. The Jaguars are a better team. Then Ridley comes back. And it just turned it all just kind of screwed it all up for them. And Christian Kirk loses a lot of touches. And the Jags kind of just stumbled the entire year. And again, I realize that's 1-2 we're talking about and not 3-4. But I've seen it over and over and over again. And one more I throw out there too. Stephon Diggs to the Texans. I'm not sold. That's even a smart move at this point in his career, given what they have with Dell, with Nico Collins, a nice thing going with Schultz at tight end. Just sometimes the extra wheel there is actually a really, really bad thing when you get a queue of players who I think deserve it and earned it. And I think that's what's going to happen. So that's a big fear of mine, Phil.
Adam, are the 5 and 6 receivers, are they going to be a problem for our top four, do you think?
It's going to be a problem, but not the way that Clinton envisions it in any way, shape, or form. Sleep easy, Clinton. If you are worried about receivers getting their touches and their plays and playing time and all that, I have just the man for you. His name is Ryan Grubb, and he really likes living in 3, 4, and 5 wide receiver sets. He's up running stuff that is very spread oriented. I mean, I just watched a video from Brandon from the Hawk's Nest, and he was kind of going through the Grubb offense a little bit. And he said, basically the majority of what he pulls from is air raid, black, spread, black, and the run and shoot, black. So we're going to be doing a lot of that, which means a lot of receivers are going to get a lot of playing time. Probably going to have some injuries in there too. I don't think you're going to have a real problem getting all those guys on the field at any given time. They're all going to have plenty of opportunities.
You made me feel better and worse all at once, Adam. Thank you. I appreciate that.
That's my gift.
Well, from one area of the team where maybe we have too much depth to my area where I would like to see some improvement before the season starts. This is an area where I don't think we have enough depth, and that is the middle linebacker group, the inside linebackers.
We all saw that coming, Brandon.
I know. I feel like everybody saw it coming, but I feel like it's an important thing to talk about because it was something we talked about last year. There wasn't anything done about it. And the team could do something here. It's not like there aren't guys out there. They have Jerome Baker. They have Tyrell Dodson. Those are right now your starting two linebackers. You draft Tyrese Knight, which is great because, you know, you need some young depth there. I'd even count Patrick O'Connell as a young depth piece that hopefully can elevate off of his time on the practice squad last season. But when you talk about O'Connell, when you talk about Drake Thomas on the roster, when you talk about John Rattigan, you're getting into guys who are special teams depth. And I'm trying to get specific here in that I want a linebacker who is a veteran. And we have enough of the young guys that have maybe some potential, but you got Darius Shaq Leonard out there. And I say Darius because I want him to go back to being Darius because that's when he was good. Much like we've had the discussion with Requel and Tariq. But you got Leonard, who, you know, spent so much time with the Colts, went to the Eagles, tried to come back a little bit. You got Zach Cunningham out there, who is a longtime veteran, who I'd feel like even if they can bring on somebody to just kind of play that role of veteran, like in case there's an injury, because that's what I look at here. If there's an injury to one of those guys and we're starting to count on young depth pieces, I don't know how it's going to work. And Kwon Alexander out there too. So there are veteran players that could potentially come in and fill that role. And just one of those guys, and I'd feel a lot better about the middle of this defense.
It'd be interesting if they don't end up addressing it at some point here. I do think, Brandon, that between cap casualties or after the preseason or whatever it is, there's going to be one or two dudes. And it may not be the more experienced veteran you're looking for. It might be another young dude. But I'd be surprised if they don't bring in one more guy for a look-see. And not only that, but if you get into the season and you're having problems at middle linebacker in terms of health, it seems to me that there's going to be some dude sitting on a couch somewhere that you can go and pull in and plug into the middle of the defense during a transition year, you know, where the expectations maybe aren't quite as high as, say, 2-3 years down the road. And so you can get away with doing something like that.
And normally you would pull from dudes who have been on the team before, but Bobby Wagner is over in Washington. And then you got KJ Wright coaching down in Ninerland. And I feel like those would be your go-to guys for John Schneider, but
KJ's out of shape. That one's that ship sailed.
Yeah, those are done now. But Brandon, there's two things there. Like, first and foremost, the Drake Thomas slander will not stand. Right, that's my guy. You guys know that's my guy this year. Right, so I'll be rooting hard for him. And
what was his best professional game? You would say,
that one game against Baltimore where he got injured. Yeah. So that was it, right? He was in for a few snaps and got hurt last year in the game we got absolutely waxed in. So that's cool. The rest of it was preseason stuff for the Raiders, right? So we shall see. A bit of a wild card. The other thing is that Dodson doesn't even play third down. He might for us. He didn't for Buffalo. He was not on the field. They took him off the field. They're like, nope, coverage is not what you do. You read the run well. You go fill holes. You tackle pretty well instinctively. Cool, cool, cool. He's not even, it doesn't play third down. Now we have things we could do, three safety sets and things of that nature. And we probably will do quite a bit of that. With that still, I am with you. I'm with you. You know, as chalky as the answer is, it ain't wrong, Brandon. It ain't wrong.
I don't want two inside linebackers on third down unless it's third and short. That'd be crazy anyway. I don't know what the concern is for that one. If I do almost agree with everything that Brandon said, the only spark of hope I'd like to throw in here is that maybe they like Baker and Dodson, and maybe Mike thinks that he knows how to use Baker and Dodson, because I do not think they think this is a throwaway year. I think they think it's a good year, and I believe that they will use five DBs far more often than not. And so two inside linebackers is more first and 10 sometimes against some teams, or something in short. The majority of the time, we're going to have five DBs. I'd be shocked if it's different than that, Adam.
Mike definitely likes Baker and Dotson, because in his latest pressers, he has nicknames for those two and not for anybody else on the team, especially any of the guys that have been, you know, that are returning from the Pete Carroll era. So I found that to be interesting.
And what was it? It was like T-Dot, right? I think was one for Dotson.
Bake. Yeah.
And Bake. I do love that
already, I guess. He's coaching up those inside linebackers, I'm sure.
So McDonald is a nickname guy. We're finding that out, at least with the dudes that he potentially likes. So,
but not for him. He doesn't want to be Coach Mac. He doesn't want to be into that. He'll call nicknames. You don't call me a nickname.
Exactly.
He can be Coach Mike. I've been using Coach Mike. That, you know, we did that with Pete too. So that transfers. I think
we're stuck with that.
All right, where are we going to go next? Phil sounded like he had the most, so I think we'll save Phil for the end. That way he has plenty to choose from. Adam, your one thing that you want from the team here before the season starts.
All right. I think it is plain as day and cannot be argued that there is one point of failure on this team that is the most likely to have failure. Like if you're looking at everything as a whole, if you're looking at like the offensive line, it's like, I don't know, you know, maybe Haynes is the answer and Bradford comes along and I like Olu, like, you know, I could see a path there to success. You know, Baker and Dotson, like, I don't know. You know, they really liked Baker down in Miami, and a lot of the fans down there were sad to see him go, but I could see a path to success there, right? The one thing that I think is the most likely to fail is the offensive coordinator, Ryan Grubb. Look, boys, since 1980, there has been exactly one football coach to come into the league and become a coordinator or a head coach and succeed in the NFL, have like actual sustained success. One, his name is Jimmy Johnson in 1989. It hasn't happened in 35 years. So we have to try to help Ryan Grubb do the impossible, do something that is so unbelievably unlikely that we are walking towards success. And, you know, I mentioned earlier from the Hawks Nest pod, you know, talking about his system, spread, air raid, and run and shoot, right? Those are where most of his principles come from. Running a lot of, you know, four or five wide receiver sets, horizontal attacking of things, relying on the pass instead of the run. Well, okay, that has failed in the NFL almost every single time. So how do we get to a version of that that still works within his principles of wanting to be a pass first offense, but maybe be a little bit more physical, something that has a little more teeth to it, something that has shown success over the history of the league. And of all of those kind of pass happy offenses that we've seen in our lifetime, guys, the West Coast is the most physical of all of those. And so what I want the Seahawks to do is I want, as an offensive consultant, for them to go out and not get a little show, but a big show, the big show, Mike Holmgren. This is practical. This is practical. He's already there in Seattle. He's a guy that understands football more than all four of us combined three times over. And he's not going to be gunning for Grubb's job. He's a guy that can be the adult in the room, has all the NFL experience necessary to come in one day a week, have Grubb kind of bounce all his principles, what he's trying to get after, and be like, look, in the league, you're not going to be able to do this, but you could get away with this, and help guide him to success. Because as it stands, it's extremely unlikely that this is going to work. And I want it to work. So let's bring in somebody with the experience to help guide a guy that has literally zero experience.
I do want to ask again, you threw the Jimmy Johnson thing out there, 89. I get that. But what was the, what is it? Say it one more time for me and the audience that there has not been one college coach to what? Or there's only been one to what?
To have significant success as a coordinator or a head coach. Like
coming directly from college.
With no NFL experience, right? Like some people might argue Jim Harbaugh, and it's like, well, he played quarterback in the league. He was a starting quarterback for 10, 15 years. Like, and his teams look like NFL teams. It's not like he was primarily a college dude. Look at all the primarily college coaches that have come to the NFL. let alone the ones that haven't even had a cup of coffee with the league. And it's a disaster. It's an absolute disaster.
The other part I want to ask, guys, when I watched the UW, I got called out for calling it UW, so UW offense. I mean, you call it horizontal a lot, and I realize there is quick game elements, but Penix also like dropped back a lot and threw the ball outside. You know, he was outside verticals a lot.
Right, right.
So how do you balance both of those, Adam?
Yeah, the offense is bubbles, bombs, and screens. That's the offense. It genuinely is. And then you watch the way that they run the football, and this is why I'm talking a little bit more on the horizontal aspect of things. We all hyper focus on just the passing game. In the running game, he does the thing that we watch Waldron try to do a bunch. Shoddy tried to do it, like where they take all the receivers and stack them outside, or really spread the defense out horizontally and then try to catch them with a quick hitter. And like, that's the run game up the middle. It's a gimmick. It doesn't work in the league. Not long-term anyways. And you're never going to, you know, dominate that way. But right now the league is dominated by two high shell coverages, right? And last year, the Super Bowl champions, you know what they did? They went West Coast. They started dinking and dunking. And even Andy Reid, who is a pass happy coach, he goes back to those West Coast roots, which he has in common with Holmgren, by the way, being on the same staff back in Green Bay. Like, he went to that and said, look, you're going to play too high on us? Fine, death by a thousand cuts until you finally bring a safety down, then we'll bomb it over the top of you. And that's the way they decided to do it. So one thing that we can say with a fair amount of certainty is the Grub offense isn't going to be a run-first offense. It's just not. And so if it's not going to be a run-centric offense, and you have to bring that safety down to try to get them out of the too high looks so that you can get to the bombs, to the vertical stuff, then you're going to have to complete a lot of mid to underneath stuff rather than just bubbles, 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 bubbles. That's just not going to work in the league.
There's one wild card aspect to this that I don't think we've really talked about, and that was the hiring of Jake Peets from the Rams. He's now the Seahawks pass game coordinator. He was the pass game specialist for the Rams last year, an offensive assistant for the Rams in 2022. And he has significant NFL experience going back to, I think, his first year in the NFL was an assistant QB coach with the Jaguars back in 2012. So he's had some time. He was with McVay in Washington in 2014. And so it's that component of it, too. Like, we know that Sean McVay has an understanding of the run game and how it impacts the offense and how you could still have a passing attack and how it works off the run game. And so with him as the pass game coordinator, I have to think he's having some significant input in terms of how the offense is going to run. So that's my hope, is that there's enough experience within the coaching staff that making this transition is possible.
So we're pinning our hopes on some dude named Jake, who once worked under McVay at one point, to as the passing game coordinator,
a couple
pull
points.
This all together. Yeah. Like, I think we need a dude that has a lot more experience and can help a first time NFL coach navigate this, especially when his first time head coach is a defensive guy. And the guy that they brought in to kind of be the orchestrator of all of that and kind of the old head that they could go to, Leslie Frazier, another defensive guy. Bring it Holmgren one day a week. What else is he doing other than, you know, KJJR or whatever? Like, he'd enjoy it. I think it would be, I think it's a resource that's right there that is feasible that you could easily tap.
So I like Adam's suggestion is to basically take the job they said that Pete Carroll actually had, which is not really a job, and give it to Holmgren maybe once or twice a week just to rub off and get the West Coast there. The West Coast offense too, Kansas City certainly did not have the threats they've had in years past. So they definitely adjusted to their personnel. Grubb also has been out there saying, like, look, I understand that what worked in college is not necessarily going to work here because you're just not going to get your dudes are not going to get the kind of separation they got in college. He understands that. And you don't have the hashes you're dealing with. So I feel you. I'm hopeful that I think Grubb really understands that he's got to change. He can't just roll out the UW offense, and we'll see. I know it's a big question mark for you, Adam, but I think he's saying the things that are like, look, I can't run that again. I realize that's not going to work here. So I guess we'll see.
Well, he better understand it.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, Phil, deeds or talk, which one do you generally buy into, like what people have done or what they say they're about to do?
Well, I do go off of what they have done over what they say. That's kind of a principle that you need to go by. I have a couple things that are factors that make things different that maybe can add some hope. One, Adam, I understand this is a want show, and I'm guessing as much as you don't think we can have a good offense with Grubb, that still seems more likely than Holmgren coming in to work for the Seahawks. So if we're talking about possible wants, more likely we got to find something else. So to me, a more likely hope for what you want is that Mike is the head coach. And just kind of like we talked about Sean McVay, he's an offensive coordinator, but he's a genius. I mean, I don't like that he's in our division, but as the head coach, he knows what is going to work against an offense as an offensive coordinator. Coach Mike, I get the feeling from listening to him, he knows what kind of offense is hard to defend. And so what Grubb's got to get to, and he had to convince him at that sandwich place and bar, and he's going to have to convince him, and his actions better follow up his words, in that Mike has said, here's some things that anybody can defend in the league. We're not playing kiddie games here in the NFL. And I'm going to tell you, these are some things that cannot work. I feel like Mike is not a crossable individual when he is convinced certain things don't work. And so my expectation in that interview is Grubb convinced him that he knows how to do things differently. He was able to have the number one offense in college because there's cheat codes in college. So there's things you can do in college. Why not do them when they're free? He better know by watching the NFL that there's things that will not work. And so I feel like a better hope than Mike is our new young coach telling him, here's what it's going to take if you're going to stay. So would that give you any hope, Adam, that Mike's going to require some accountability?
Have you listened to many of Mike's pressers yet here, like just from OTAs and stuff?
Yeah.
Like, does he seem at all interested in the offense? Like really in any way when they ask him questions about it? Like they ask him about Geno. Yeah, you know, I mean, he's a leader.
Yeah,
that's cool. And then back to the defense, right? Like,
could be right. Yeah,
most defensive head coaches, they look at the offense and they're like, I honestly don't care what much you do, just don't screw it up. Okay, like just keep it real simple, and we'll be fine.
They care about
They care about the time.
Coach Pete cared about wanting to run the ball because he knew that helped his defense. I feel like
sure.
Mike understood that as a Ravens defensive coordinator when they were running and moving the ball well, that helped out the defense. I'd be shocked as a D coordinator that he doesn't want some possession on the other side of the field.
I just can't get past what I see on film from Grubb and then reconciling that with, oh, it's going to be more of a McShanahan style offense, right? Like, that offense is West Coast rooted. Where does, you know, young Shanahan come from? It comes from Dad Shanahan, who is, you know, one of the gurus of West Coast, right? Yeah. That's Mike Shanahan right there. And, you know, McVay and Shanahan, they come from that very tree. So that's all very West Coast centric. And this is not, this is, you know, again, bubbles, bombs in motion. And that does not make an NFL offense. I know it looks fun. I know it sizzles in college, but without somebody in the room with real NFL experience and offensive chops,
like Jake Peets,
for Pete's sake, I just don't have a lot of hope for this working out for him. I mean, do you think that, you know, Spurrier or Chip Kelly or Bobby Petrino or Lou Holtz, or, you know, go down the list of dudes who have come in, you know, from college who are offensive gurus. They all knew they had to do stuff different, yet it was all still a giant failure. Just ask Cliff Kingsbury.
Great job. Now we're depressed, Adam. I think you've convinced me that there's no hope.
Jake Peets is our hope, Phil. Gosh, I've been trying to tell you guys ever since Adam started. It hasn't worked, but Phil, we are down to you, sir. And you, three things are off the board, so maybe that helps narrow things down for you.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the answer that originally I thought would be really hokey to do. And typically, I don't even like it when fans do this. let's bring this guy back. I just don't usually like the bring this guy back because it's often not a great thing. But I do
say
like,
Jamal Adams, so help me, Phil. Not like a part of this podcast anymore.
Yeah, I'm going to be deleted from the show. I do feel like there's one guy that could add some stability, some skill, and could be a big help in an area where I think we could have a little step up. And you did nail the position group, but I'm picking a different player. So Jamal Adams is an interesting character. He disappointed us for quite some time. And so the disappointment era is over. I'm glad about that. If I could pick one thing I'd like him to change this season, the jersey I'm wearing, I'd like it to be regular in the rotation, not just once in a while. It's beautiful. Our players look great in it. So that would be the one thing. But if I'm picking a player that we're all familiar with, I would like Quandre Diggs to come back. And I get the feeling it's possible. I don't think the relationship is destroyed. He's still getting paid even for not playing for us. So why not get paid just a little more and come have fun with the guys, get in the rotation there. We could use another safety. I feel like we could use another safety. I know it's a corny answer, but legitimately, beyond just it being like what people think, I feel like his skill set could be a good factor for us. What do you guys think? Am I crazy? Am I just doing the typical thing?
I'll give an answer. I think it's more thoughtful than maybe you think it is. And look, the other piece is too, like, okay, a third safety. What are we talking about here? We're talking about, who's the guy who can't cover that? And that's who's the Cincinnati Bearcat. I'm totally blanking. Kobe Bryant. Yes. There you go. I host a Seahawks podcast. Kobe Bryant. Yeah.
And his name is not memorable at all.
Right. Number eight.
That's where I got betwixt. So Kobe Bryant, if those are the choices of like, all right, we're going to keep on bringing Kobe Bryant back out there as a kind of a second year going to safety. I don't see it. Adam, you were way ahead of that curve. You were on that from Jump Street being like, I don't see it with that guy when they were trying him at slot, which I thought was really a disaster given his skill set. And Kobe Bryant looks capable in the sense that he doesn't get beat over the top. But it's always like dudes catching a ball a couple of yards in front of him and he makes a tackle. Most safeties can do that. If it's that or Quandre, heck. And Quandre is much, much more fun on Twitter too. So Phil, for that alone, I'm with you.
If they were to bring Quandre back, it would be dope, 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 dope. It would be so dope. I would enjoy having Quandre back just because of just the dude that he is and how tough that he plays and all that. And just exactly to Clinton's point, I'm definitely not looking forward to leaning on Kobe Bryant as the possible third safety if they do some big nickel stuff. And he even heard Coach Mike talking a bit about, three safety looks and his pressers and things of that nature. So I don't think that they're done there. But if they did, Brandon, bring Diggs back, is he a starter or is it Love and Jenkins? Like, because what I'm hearing about Jenkins, it sounds like they really like this dude.
And I like Jenkins too, based off of his interviews. I feel like he has like a good presence about him. And that's not something that you can get just going off of tape. And because I think his tape was kind of so, but in terms of a presence and probably how I feel like he understands the game well, just the same way Quandre understood the game well. So that part of it, I think how that works then between Rayshon and Julian, I could see them being starters. But again, like I talked about with linebacker, this is another area where depth is an issue. Yeah, they got Kayvon Wallace. I see him as special teams depth.
Me too.
Kobe Bryant, I don't know quite what to think about him. They do have Jarek Reed, but again, that's another player that you're expecting to kind of elevate from previous years that you haven't seen a ton of, and I hate kind of hoping for those guys to emerge rather than, kind of just being impressed that they end up emerging and you start wishing for playing time. So I could definitely get behind Quandre coming back. When you look down the list of other free agent safeties out there, Justin Simmons is out there, Eddie Jackson, Marcus May is out there. So if you're going to go with a former Jet, definitely avoid Jamal Adams, go get Marcus May potentially. And yeah, there's a lot of depth, actually. I mean, I've only hit on the top of the list. I mean, Keanu Neal is out there. So Ryan Neal is out there, the other Neal that we know and love.
two safeties making it the whole season healthy is pretty rare. We had it a few times early on in Cam and Earl's career, but it's pretty, even they would miss one here and there. And the other thing, I mean, I know Quandre didn't have this amazing season, but I racked my brain to think, was he getting beat over the top last year, guys? Like his main job, was he failing at his main job last year?
No, not at his main job.
I don't think the main job. I think his tackling was not great last year. Yeah. And I think he was making some business decisions at some point. I really do think that. Look, I also think that Wallace is seemingly a very good tackler, and they brought him a very, very short tackler. So cool. Yeah. And then, you know, the other part too.
I didn't want to keep him at that price. I legitimately did not want to keep Quandre at the price that he was scheduled to make. That didn't make any sense for a team building. But for the price he might come back for as a third safety, sometimes you need a third. And then sometimes one of those guys isn't there. You need a guy that can do the job and not get cooked at his main job. So to me, as much as I never pick these kinds of answers, bring this guy back, it kind of makes sense to me this year.
Yes. And the other piece too, is we talk about Reed's still hurt. He's not participating in OTAs yet. They said he got a little bit on his way back into rehab. He had some minor setback. We had to have it rescoped, and he's not out there for OTAs quite yet. So, and I like Reed. I'm more bullish on Reed than I think everybody else on this podcast, based on special teams play. He was a very, very aggressive short tackler in special teams, which I think translates quite well to safety traditionally. With all that, I mean, Quandre would be kind of welcome. I think it'd be fun. I do think the safety room is a little more on solid ground than we think it is at this point. That's just my gut.
I feel a little bit better about safety than I do linebacker, but
sure.
They're a close 1-2 for me as far as the defense goes, whereas they addressed a lot of the other areas. We're going to have shows coming up throughout the off season, and some of those shows you can expect. Clinton Bonner going to be doing 3 In, 3 Out. It is our post-game recap show, where we look at some of the smaller details with regards to our team and how they perform throughout the week. We'll have our What If show led by Mr. Phil Leidick as we take a look at some scenarios that we can see potentially in the games coming up. And we're going to be doing interview shows throughout the offseason too, and just things here and there. So lots of fun to look forward to, guys. And I think with that,
there's only one thing left to say.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.